when you're doing Google ads, you're basically just riding the coattails of everybody else's marketing dollars. So you're getting the best leads from everybody else's marketing.
If you can cut your cash conversion cycle in half, you can triple the revenue that the business does.
And learning how to really dial in those metrics and then reverse engineer is how you build a successful wholesale real estate business. Guys, I'm sitting here with someone who's helped wholesalers get $50 million in acquisitions in wholesale real estate, and someone else who's helped wholesalers sell billions in wholesale real estate. I'm really excited for this masterclass series, guys. I've got Rob Wensley and Brandon Bateman. We're going to do a roundtable masterclass series all about one specific marketing channel. I mean, we'll cover a bunch of other things, but we're going to really do a deep dive onto Google Ads pay-per-click, this mysterious strategy that the top wholesalers in the country all implement. I think everybody at some point as they progress in their business, they almost everyone I know of transitions into PPC. So we thought it'd be super valuable to help you really learn the ins and outs and how you can start to master the strategy of PPC. So Rob, it's awesome to be here with you. I love hanging out.
We're doing all kinds of stuff. Up. Appreciate it. Yeah. Brandon, thank you for flying down here to Puerto Rico to come kick it with us.
And yeah, we got the ocean literally like right here. It's fun.
New investor lift office just opened this week.
I'm really
glad that we're doing this because like the whole business model we've kind of really mastered with our investor lift clients. So we got the top guys in the country, guys that have hit a million, even 2 million a month with very small teams, right? Like dozen or less people. And the whole business model, I always tell people, is really simple. You run Google ads to get the leads, you close them, and you sell them on InvestLift. That's all we do. Stupid simple, right? You're like, oh, how do you do that? I'm like, this is it. Like, it's very simple. But you see the big guys doing it, and they have a lot of success, but a lot of people get in. They might spend 10, 15, 20. I've heard people spend $50,000 on Google ads and not get a single deal.
I mean, Google will take your money.
They will, 100%. So I'm super glad that you came in here because you're probably one of the top, probably the most well-known, at least in our space. All our top guys all use you to manage the Google ads. And what I want to do today, I'm hoping we're going to do today, is demystify Google ads, teach everyone how it works, show what the top guys are doing, like what makes people successful on Google ads, what makes people fail on Google ads. And at the end of this series, everyone has an understanding of how it all works, how to be successful, how to avoid failure, and can go and implement it in their business and take their business to the next level.
Yeah, this is going to be much like, hopefully, like the series you and I did, Rob, which was like, how do you scale to $1 million a month real estate business, where we kind of broke down all the mechanics of that. We're going to try to do something very similar with this series with Brandon. And I think, first of all, Brandon, I think what would be really helpful is just to kind of help people really understand the big picture of PPC and why that is such a powerful marketing channel in wholesale real estate.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people who love PPC. I think Robert, you said it's a little bit polar.
Right? It's love hate.
People have like these awesome experiences, and then they have these kind of rough experiences with PPC. And what I think is missing in this industry is the understanding of why. Yeah. You know, why do some people succeed on such a high level?
A lot of unrealistic expectations too. Mm-hmm. People think they'll throw $1,000 at PPC and they'll get 20 deals.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, because you assume if I do what the bigger companies are doing, maybe I'm going to have success. But I think a lot of it comes from understanding how PPC really fits in to the world of marketing. The way I picture it, you've got like over here, you have like outbound channels, right? This is going to be like your door knocking, your cold calling, your texting, maybe realtor outreach, whatever it is. Very, very time intensive, but cheap, right? Over here, you've got inbound. And that's where PPC falls, for example. So the difference here is outbound is you're going to people. And inbound, they're coming to you. And I want to make a distinction here because some people would call like direct mail, for example. They would say that's an inbound channel because people are calling you.
Yeah. I usually consider it inbound. It's not.
I call it right in the middle because you sent them a postcard. Mm. They responded to your postcard and came to you. Right. So that's
so like you still reached out, but then they're responding back. Yeah.
So that's why PPC is so popular because it's about as far this way as you can go. This is people on a search engine looking. It's as if someone's going to their mailbox and they're looking for a postcard from an investor wanting to buy their house.
Very high intent. High intent leads. The highest quality. They've gone and searched something like how to sell an inherited home fast for cash. Yeah. And that's way more valuable than if I'm just cold calling someone.
You're catching them early in the process because you're calling them. Maybe they're early on in their foreclosure process, right? Whereas now they're calling the Google ad when their foreclosure is next Friday. Yeah. You know what I mean? The high intent happens with that inbound. I love something I learned from you, Rob, which really for me helped me understand it a whole lot better. It's all about who gets to ask the question of what price do you want? So when you outbound and you say, what price do you want? Mm-hmm. The seller gets to say, well, you called me.
Right.
All right. So that puts them in the driver's seat. When they call you and the topic comes up about price, you get to say, well, you called me.
Completely different.
I mean, whoever gets to say that has the control, gets the deeper discount, right?
And the beautiful thing is with that high intent, like the last time an investor of company broke $2 million a month, we did it with just seven guys on the team. Seven guys. People thought we had like 100 people in the office. We're like, no, seven dudes.
Yeah.
Because we knew that we would close 1 in 10 leads from Google Ads, and we just try to get 10 leads a day. 10 leads a day would give us one deal a day. We would make $50,000 per deal. That's $250,000 a week, 4 weeks in a month, $1 million a month. So it's just simple math. It's very easy for a very small sales team to handle 10 leads. Now, if we're doing outbound prospecting, we would probably need 40 or 50 people to do the same amount of revenue. So people say that Google Ads is more expensive. It's more expensive per lead. But if you look about the total amount of time it takes you, the total amount of resources, the total amount of people, and effort that it takes to do a deal. Yes, it's capital intensive up front, but the total, when you look at the total cost to do a deal, my argument is it's a lot less expensive in the long run, once you got everything dialed in and are doing it at scale.
One thing I did an analysis recently of a collection of P&Ls within the industry. And these were all companies doing significant volume, call it $300,000 to $500,000 a month. Some of which were very heavily outbound driven, and some of which were very heavily inbound driven.
This is very interesting.
It is. Believe it or not, net margins pretty similar across the board. What the difference was is the marketing, like ROI, is the thing that people use. Like, how many dollars do I get out for what I put in on inbound channels was actually lower than it was in outbound channels. However, the operational expense was higher on the companies that had outbound channels.
Yeah, so that's kind of what you just explained. Bigger team.
So the ones that were inbound, they had a lot less headaches, a smaller team. They still could get to the net margin that they wanted, and they just had a larger marketing bill.
And these
are generalities, right? Because could you have a higher net margin on inbound than outbound? Yes, it depends on how you do it, right? Yeah. And that's what we're going to talk about in this whole series, is how do you master this on such a high level that you're going to do exceptionally well as a business?
Yeah. See, that's interesting you say that, because my experience has been, like with all my wholesale partners, is our assignment fees are just way bigger with inbound than they are with outbound. Like, we average maybe 10,000 is like a high assignment fee with a text cold call or agent model. But like inbound, that's where you hit the 40, 50K deals, is on the inbound leads.
It could be though that you're doing a lot of realtor outreach, right? And the problem with doing realtor outreach is they've already priced it.
Well, yeah, but that's what I mean on outbound.
I'd say outbound realtor outreach is different than outbound
still,
with realtor outreach.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You'll do better in normal cold call and text without realtors from a deal spread standpoint, but PPC is still usually higher.
But I think bottom line though, I think what you did there, looking at the net profit margins of the companies, is brilliant. I love that.
That's ultimately all we care about.
That's ultimately
all
we care about.
Yeah.
But like, Jerry, if you were to run, you had an option to be a CEO of two companies. One, they both make the same margins. They both
make the same amount. Employees?
One has 50 employees. One has 10.
Seven. Oh my
gosh. Which one do you want to run?
Well, I'm very lifestyle driven, so clearly less employees. Yeah.
100% all day long. So that is super interesting. I love that you did that.
Anybody who's ever been there would answer the same.
Yeah.
That makes a
sometimes
real
sometimes it sounds good until you get there. It's
yeah.
a lot of employees.
Yeah, it's not.
No, it's not.
I mean, no one wants to wake up and say, I can't wait to go to the office and manage my 50 employees.
Like, no.
I don't think so.
Yeah, keep it small.
Absolutely. So that's the value of it. I can give another example of this. I just had a call with a client recently where they were showing me this house that they had purchased. So this house was in their neighborhood, actually. So they would,
where they lived.
Yeah, where they lived. They would drive by this house like on their way to the office all the time. And it was like the most stereotypical driving for dollars house you've ever seen.
Run down.
Extremely run down. So they cold call it, they texted it, they door knocked it. They did all this stuff like over and over and over again, because they actually really liked it, because it was on this lot that was on the water in the neighborhood. And they're like, that house, if it was rehabbed, that would actually be a really nice house. It's just, it hasn't been cared for. So anyways, they can't They can't seem to get it. This is like over 6 months that they're doing this. Then one day through PPC, they get this phone call and they talk to the person.
I knew that's where you were going.
Yes. Yeah. So they talk to this person and they actually realize, like, yo, you're the owner of that house. Like, we're neighbors.
he called him.
Yeah.
Wow. He inbounded on an ad.
Yep. And they end up buying the house. They end up rehabbing it. And now it's their personal residence. Wow. So it was our clients did over 2,400 deals last year. That's my favorite out of the 2,400. But it's an interesting story that illustrates the point that we often think that the way that sellers are going to find the companies they do business with is whatever method we found them through before. But everybody has their own way that they're going to find the company that they're going to do business with. And more it's Google. Yeah. Where they're going to find those companies that they do business with. Turns out what someone types into Google is more predictive than almost any other point as for predicting their future behavior, right? Yeah. Like before I came here, I probably searched something on Google about like flights to Puerto Rico, mm-hmm. places to stay in Puerto Rico, et cetera, right? And that says more about me coming to Puerto Rico than anything else that I have in terms of data points on my life that any company could access. So I think it's a really interesting point. And we've seen the number of people going to Google and searching these kinds of things that show that they're a motivated seller has tripled in about the past 4 years.
Wow.
So more and more people
are coming. The volume has tripled.
Yes.
That is incredible. Now, okay. My question is why? I have a theory. I'm curious to hear. Okay. Jared, what do you think?
I have some theories too. Well, I think, it's all a comparison to other channels, right? So if you think about, maybe this isn't where you're going, but if you think about like texting and cold calling getting highly regulated, the carriers are getting smarter. Just as far as effectiveness, it's getting harder and harder to be successful on those other channels. Whereas, you know, COVID happens. I mean, most everybody's online. And I think the point you're trying to make is Google now has so much data. And if you know how to look at the analytics, we can predict what sellers' behaviors are going to be. Is that kind of what you're saying? Because we have so many data points on what they're doing that we've never had before.
Now, so that's an interesting thought, because the thought there, I think, is kind of that, like, okay, maybe people are doing less marketing on the other channels. Like, they're doing less outbound. So as a result, those people that normally would respond to a postcard are now going and searching. My thought, I have a thought that the older crowd, because most people that sell to us, like, we need deep equity to be able to sell. And houses, if I'm a 25-year-old and I just bought my first house, like, that house is not distressed. Fast forward 25 years when I'm 50 years old and I haven't done my repairs, now it's distressed, right? So people are typically selling properties
and
in good
condition. And they have equity so they can sell deeper.
Yeah. So our motivated sellers are typically older, right? They're typically 40, 50, 60. Because that's the people that need our solution the most. And I think that crowd is going more online. Like, if you look at the Facebook demographics, Facebook used to be just colleges. It started off at Harvard. It was just Harvard. Now, if you look at the Facebook demographics are more, I think it's like, it's mostly older people. It's mostly 50, 60 plus. And they're using Facebook to keep in touch with their grandkids and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing it would be interesting to look at like mobile adoption trends. I'm guessing it's just more people are getting smartphones and this older crowd is on their phone more. That's my theory. What do you think?
I agree with you. I think there's also an aspect of the new old people are yesterday's young people, right?
Yeah.
So the more that happens, like, everything that happens in real estate investing happens just like 10 years after it happened in the rest of the world.
Yeah.
Like, you talk to most like tech companies these days or anybody advertising to like younger demographics, they like don't know anything outside of digital marketing, right? If you talk about like direct mail or cold calling, they think you're some type of dinosaur, right? So it's just following the trend.
Yeah.
There's one other thing. So search marketing is intent-based. For things to be intent-based, people have to know that it's an option, right? So let's just give like another example, right? Let's just say some pharmaceutical drug comes around. And the reason pharmaceutical drugs are so popular with this is because they tend to be some of the highest cost per click things on Google.
Wow.
So anyways, let's just say that happens, right? If nobody knows about this, is search marketing going to work? No, because you're harvesting demand that already exists in the marketplace,
yeah.
right? So if companies start running TV commercials for that and start having doctors tell people about that and all that stuff, what happens? You start to now have people go to Google to search for it. Right. So if you think of what's happened, like, we're sending in as an industry, like, more direct mail than ever. We're doing more cold calling than ever, texting. There's iBuyers now. Yeah. Who are normalizing this idea of buying a house for cash is a normal thing that you can actually have intent for.
A lot of people don't even, like when I remember, I agree with this because I remember when I got in the game and I was explaining the business to like family members up in Canada or whatever, they were like, wait, you can do that? You can sell your house for cash as is? Like there's a huge segment of the population that doesn't even know that that's an option. What you're saying is with the new iBuyers coming in with more marketing going out, now more people are just realizing that
the word cash buyer is now a mainstream thing where it never has been before. Yeah.
So if you know it's an option, you can search for it.
Yeah.
And when you're doing Google ads, you're basically just riding the coattails of everybody else's marketing dollars.
Yeah.
All those postcards that they sent to people and people put on their refrigerator and reminded them, like, I can sell my house for cash. But then one day when they're looking to do that, because Google is where we find so many of the solutions that we have these days, that's where
true.
They go.
Yeah.
So you're getting the best leads from everybody else's marketing.
It's true. If you think about it, if I hear something on the radio or I get something in the mail, I'm going to Google if I'm interested in that and see what's going on, you know?
I know that, I'll tell you another funny story that kind of supports this, Siri. I used to be in charge of sending our direct mail, and we'd send over 250,000 postcards per month. And then what we do is after we drop the postcards, we drop the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, because that's when you get the best response time. And then we call them Thursday, Friday, and we'd reference the postcard. Like, hey, I'm calling because I sent you a postcard. Just want to make sure you got it, right? So now you're getting 2 touch points in a week. I forgot to send the mail 1 week. None of the postcards went out. And we did the calls. It was a brand new list. The list had never been hit by us ever before. Brand new list had never been hit by us before. The response rate on the campaigns was exactly the same. It was exactly the same. People were like, oh, yeah. No, sorry, I got your postcard. I just haven't had a chance. Because everyone was hitting the same list. And so we just got rid of the direct mail.
Because someone else was
mailing. We just did the calls and referenced the postcards, and we never sent the postcards. We saved ourselves so much money.
Your cash conversion cycle.
This is huge. Most people do not understand the impact of this.
We talked about this. Talk about how important this is, because now you're doing more deals over a given time period.
Yeah. So there's only two numbers that matter in a real estate wholesaling business. Number one is return on ad spend. For every dollar we spend on marketing, how many dollars do we get back? And number two is cash conversion cycle. How fast do we do that? When we plug a dollar into marketing, how many days does it take before we return a profit from those dollars? Now, a lot of people are fixated on how much they're making per deal. But if you look at the volume, you got to look at, instead of being stuck in the deal, what you got to do is like get out of the trees and look at the forest and look at like what would the numbers be on an entire business over an entire year. And if I've modeled it out, like what happens when you cut the cash conversion cycle in half? If you can go from 60 days between when you spend the money and you get the money back down to 30 days, technically you make twice as much money. You're making the same amount per deal.
On the marketing.
The total volume, the total revenue your business can do in a year doubles, but it actually more than doubles. I'll tell you why. On each cash conversion cycle, you earn a profit, right? I plug a dollar in, I got $5 to $10 back. What I do with that is, as a business owner, I'm going to reinvest a percentage of that back in growth and allow my marketing budget to grow. So when we cut down the cash conversion cycle, as we cut it down, I've modeled this out, and like on a lot of businesses, if you can cut your cash conversion cycle in half, you can triple the revenue the business does. That's how the math
works. So it's not a 1-to-1, it's a 1-to-3 growth from just from your shorter cash conversion.
And now cutting it in half is a lot, but just shaving a few days off
matters
hugely.
Well, cutting in half is really feasible if you're talking about something
if you
like
go from outbound
flipping,
to inbound.
Or even like flipping versus wholesaling or something like that. Like that's why people do it.
Call to PPC. I mean, you're going to go from months of a cash conversion cycle on typical cold call versus 30 days, 45 days with PPC.
Which is absolutely accurate. And you'll find people that will tell you with PPC, it's like 3 days. In my experience, they're horrible at follow-up. So you don't want to be too focused on this, because a lot of people are just focusing on how, you know, how short can I get this, which often means you're not doing a good job at closing those leads from 3 months or 4 months ago.
You still have follow-up.
Because you'll still get those, right? So you'll see at the beginning that you'll get some deals from leads that come in pretty quick. But then over time, that amount of time, like, it's wider and wider. But yeah, I worked with a lot of companies where, you know, it's 30 days on average for PPC, and then 60 for direct mail, and then 90 for cold call. Those are pretty
90 on cold call would be good.
I think it's even longer.
North of 100 is what I'm seeing on most companies.
Yeah.
But 30 to 60 on Google Ads is like, it's like, that's pretty standard.
Yeah.
So like, we're literally talking 1/6 the cash conversion cycle. 1/6. Now, we just talked about how cutting it in half can triple your revenue. Imagine if you cut it back to 1/6. The impact that can have on your business. Like, it's a completely different business.
So the point is you don't just look at the dollar spend on the PPC. You have to look at the whole picture. You have to look at how everything's affected by your different marketing channels.
Yeah. And what we're talking about here applies to any business too. It's not just real estate investing. It's not just wholesaling. Any business. In any business, those are the only two numbers that matter. And in any business, if you do this math and you apply the same strategies, you'll have the same effect.
Well, what's fascinating to me is, like, you know, I've been doing wholesale real estate for 20 years now. And just in the past few years, with tools like Investor Lift and just so much advancement in technology, that there's so much predictability now where we can almost, we have metrics now and KPIs where we can almost know with some level of certainty and accuracy what it takes to build a million-dollar business in wholesale real estate. You know, we don't have that in flipping, because every house is different, every rehab is different. There's no way to really automate or systematize flipping to a certain extent, right? Because every house is different, but not wholesale real estate. It's and learning how to really dial in those metrics and then reverse engineer is how you build a successful wholesale real estate business.
100%. Or any business, like any business, you gotta be running it by the numbers. Like these guys here, these sales guys, I know what they sell per hour.
Yeah.
And if they take a week off, I know exactly how much that's gonna cost me. When they book a week off or 2 weeks off, I know down to the hour how much each one of them sells. And if they're gonna take a week off, I know exactly how much it's gonna cost. And if their numbers go down and their dollars per hour sells sold goes down, I know within 5 minutes exactly why. Yeah. Is it activity based? Is it like, I know.
Because you're tracking your metrics.
Everything is tracked.
When you have your KPIs all dialed in, it's really simple to look at a business and say, here's your breaking point. Here's where you're breaking down. Now we can go in here and work on that. Like, we do that with my wholesale partners. We look at their metrics every single month. And then it's like, okay, here's where we need. Now we can come in and support you in this area or that area.
And that's what Google Ads allows us to do. Better than any other marketing channel. You can't get attribution like that on TV. You can't get attribution like that on radio. You can't get attribution like that on direct mail or texting or calling.
Yeah, on Google, you can track everything to a T, where exactly it came from. And not just that, if you work with the right partner, you can get a lot of data of what those things should be.
Yeah.
So we can look in for any of our clients and see, tell them, like, you are, because people they like to make up problems that they have. Like, oh, I have a 3x return and I wanted a 5x return, and it's because my cost per lead is too high. But then you can break it down. You can say, well, you're contacting 60% of your leads. Average is 82%.
Yeah.
That's your problem. Yeah. Right?
Yeah. Everyone wants to blame the lead. I mean, it's so easy to blame the leads. Oh, the leads suck. Like, every sales guy automatically wants to say, oh, the leads suck.
Well, because they can't possibly be at fault.
It can't be them. Yeah. It's got to be the leads, right? It's so easy to blame that. But is it really the leads? And now with the right KPIs, we can really take a look at that.
Love it.
Awesome. Well, guys, this is kind of our intro video to this series. The main thing was our hope was to get you excited about PPC and really want to learn this kind of mysterious marketing channel. I think, like a lot of things, we tend to overcomplicate certain things in real estate. Like, I love what you said. It's like, you know, PPC, get a contract, pop it on Investor Lift, know where the buyers are, done. Like, why are we overcomplicating this? And that's so easy for us to do. So we want to hopefully take this marketing channel that tends to be scary for a lot of people, mysterious in a lot of ways, like, I don't know what we're doing, and then help you kind of get your head around it and feel really good about this strategy and some tips and strategies, best practices to really do it well. So on the next video, what's our topic on the next video we're going to do?
We're going to talk about budgets. So how do you know when it's the right time in your business for this to be a fit? A lot of the negative press that PPC gets is from people doing it that shouldn't really be doing it.
Not ready yet.
Yes.
Good. So
that's the number one question I get about PPC. When should I start actually spending the money on PPC? Right. So I'm super excited for that video.
Yeah, stay tuned. We're going to deep dive into that. And guys, we're going to also put some information in the description below. Brandon's got some really good toolkit resources and some things that we're going to give you for free, and also information on how you can learn more about PPC. So be sure to check out those links in the description below. And we'll see you guys on the next video.